Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're here. We're live in the studio today. Joining me is Becky Brown. Becky, how are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, doing great. Didn't you think that was a great devotional today? Oh, I gave it.
That's yeah. No, I'm yes, just, it was. No,
we did have some great discussion about New Life and just how privileged we feel in meeting the needs of folks that struggle.
Yeah.
And not
Well, one of my favorite things that you said, Steve, was you were talking about a missionary who, you know, translated the Bible into so many different languages. And here at New Life, we may not do translation, but we bring clarity.
Yeah.
And I just am so grateful to be part of it.
Well, in the beginning, 34 years ago, our three words were truth. We started with truth, then transformation and connection in redemptive relationship. But it began with truth, God's truth, the way God intended it to be interpreted. And we hope and pray that that is still the case. But we are so blessed to have so many talented people and such great support to get to do what we do. Now, today is International Bipolar Day. It is also Vincent van Gogh's birthday, which he was diagnosed after he died, with bipolar disorder. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe one day if I could get really famous, they'd do International ADHD Day on my birthday or, you know, Sarcastic
Day. We'll make a suggestion.
International Sarcasm Day. Yeah, sarcasm, mm-hmm. Something like that. But in the meantime, we have a book about this, and it's really good, Understanding and Loving a Person with Bipolar Disorder. And I'll tell you, without the diagnosis, it's such a mystery, and it is such a strange thing. But once you understand what you're dealing with and the fact that so many people have gotten effective treatment for this, then all of a sudden things change. And I got to tell you, the medicine, and this is one of those things that really does require medicine, because the brain is an organ, and that organ malfunctions, and it has to be corrected medically, chemically, for it to work correctly. Mm-hmm. And now let's just say somebody miraculously, this could happen, was healed of bipolar disorder. Great. Then you wouldn't need medication. But what you would need is you'd need a program to grow. You'd need people in community. You would need to develop and mature as a Christian. So we all have things we need to do. Even if we're delivered out of something, well, we need to be working and studying in to a better place. Well, let me say this, that if you want to join us, whether you're bipolar or know someone that is, you don't have to be bipolar to talk to us, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number. We'll be here for 2 hours. Dr. Sherry Keffer is going to join us. She's the author of an amazing book, Intimate Deception. And in that book, she really clarifies the trauma. I mean, trauma that occurs when one person doesn't have sexual integrity, when one person is betraying the other. It's a great book. She'll be here, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Becky Brown, and Steve Arterburn at 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to take your call. In the meantime, you could watch this live on YouTube. It's the New Life Live YouTube channel. There's Sherry on the channel right there. But we'd love to talk with you. Give you that number one more time before the break, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Sherry Keffer is here, as I said before, author of Intimate Deception. And boy, I was just talking to somebody about how great that book is, and it is. So, yeah, absolutely. Great book on International Bipolar Day. I want to tell you something else. We're formed. We're just going to announce it on April the 4th. We'll be talking about our new coaching network, the New Life Coaching Network. Not just counseling, but coaching. It's going to be a brand new whole group of network of coaches, Christian coaches, as that will come alongside the Christian counselors that we provide. Right now, we are going to go to Wyoming, Michigan. We're going to talk to Cindy, and Cindy listens to us on Sirius XM satellite radio. It's channel 131 at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Cindy, welcome to New Life Live. How are you today?
Well, I'm pretty good, other than I have a daughter that's been living with me 6 years as April 1st, and she's got her son who lives there, and between the two of us, she works us over pretty good with her mood swings, so I am curious to know what to think, because my daughter, it's almost like a personality disorder, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, except it's feminine, of course.
Yeah.
How old is she? Do when this happens? She's toxic. I'm 35.
She's 35. How old is her child?
10. He's 10. She's 10. Going to school, and she finally became a nurse, and I'm thinking, oh boy, let's hope she doesn't snap on the job like she has, at home with all of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll ask one more question, and then I'll have Sherry start us off here. But at the worst moment in these 7 years, what is one of the worst or the worst thing you can remember that's happened between you and her?
Well, she told me to go to my room, and I said, excuse me, I'm the one who owns the condominium. It's my place, and I'm not going to leave it. And she was just screaming loud, and it was about the boy's father, who since then, it's like okay for her to say the negative about him, but I daren't say one bad thing at all. And now the son kind of pulled away from me, maybe to get along good with the mother, I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, Sherry, you want to get us started here on a really tough situation, and one that we hear about more and more every week, every day.
So, Cindy, these mood swings, are they something that you have seen in her life over the past, let's just say, maybe 20 years? Is this common, or are they something that's happened more recently?
Well, when she moved in, she was like, nobody wants to live with them. And I said, well, I know, honey. And then she said, you're too lenient. When I told her, it's about you, sure, strict.
What I'm really asking is really trying to identify the mood swings that you talked about. Are they common?
Oh.
Have you seen the mood swings when she was in college? Have you seen mood swings throughout the last 20 years, or are they more current?
No. Yeah, they're more current.
Okay.
Since she moved in with me, and it's amazing.
So that helped me a lot, since today is, World Bipolar Day. I was trying to do some assessment to see if it was a brain chemistry issue. But you know what I'm thinking? I think it might be a relationship issue with you.
Uh-oh.
So when she's at, in your home and she's lived with you for 6 years, you said, right? What prompted the move-in? Like, where's her, the dad? Is, did they, were they married? Was this little guy born out of wedlock?
Out of wedlock. She wanted to do an abortion. She already did another one. So she wanted to do this to, and I had my church praying for her, and she wasn't going to church, and I was. I'm conservative, and she's liberal, Democrat, and, you know, like,
so this is,
words, and
this is what I'm wondering. Is it easier for you to see her warts, the things that are challenging about her? Or is it easier for you to see the resources, her strengths? What seems easier for you to see, if you're really honest with us?
Well, yeah. Well, I tend to be a positive person, and so I kind of love overlook the multitude of sins. And I've even given her the scriptures on what it's patient, kind, and so on.
But you know what?
And,
you know what?
I don't see that from her. And I,
you know what might be? You know why she's telling you to go to your room? You know why she's telling you that? Do you have any idea?
No.
Because you're in her space. You're criticizing. You're trying to change her. You're trying to control the things about her that annoy you. And she sees it. She feels it. She just wants support. She does.
She doesn't want me to say anything about her mothering.
Yes.
She told me that.
Yes.
She, that you're challenging my mothering.
Well, and it's hard not to do that when you see things that you think maybe would work better. But if she had a relationship with you where she felt relaxed, like you were on her side, like you really didn't care what her political party was, like you didn't try to, you know, bring verses, you know, and spiritualize her, that you didn't try to fix her as often as you do, she might actually start feeling more comfortable in your presence. But she's annoyed. She's annoyed and irritated by your fixing. And the reason I can even talk about this is, hi, my name is Sherry, and I'm a codependent. I spent a huge part of my life, Cindy, trying to fix people that annoyed me. And I thought it was their problem, but actually it was mine. It was mine.
Oh.
I know. Isn't that like an aha moment?
Yeah, thank you for helping me to realize what you're saying is very probably true. And I was thinking she was the toxic person, and she said that she wanted to, I'm such a control freak.
Yep, good for you. That was a good confession. that was an honest confession.
That was on her part to me. It was her to me, not the other way around, which it probably should be, and I should apologize to my daughter. And I know that when I took off to go visit her brother, then she got the other sister involved, and they went through my house and dumped all kinds of stuff. And well, I was very upset about that.
Okay.
And the lady
let me,
next door says that that was my...
Okay, let me just interrupt here and say this. You know, the Bible tells us, in as much as it's up to me, I need to do my part to make things right. But you making it right doesn't mean that everything's just going to be easy. You know, it isn't. But I do think you could use this phone call as an excuse. You could tell her, hey, I'm so concerned about us. I called and I talked with a psychologist, and I saw some things in me I hadn't seen before. And I just want you to know I'm going to make some changes because I want to make the best out of this possible. Now, at some point, she needs to have some plans. to leave and to become independent so that you can live the life that you want to live. I'll ask Becky if she has any thoughts about that. How do we, you know, not tomorrow, but how do we move toward her moving out with this 10-year-old?
Yeah, Cindy, I think it's going to take a third party to help the two of you kind of map out what the future looks like, because it's just kind of been a snowball. She came in, and now you're to the place where she's screaming at you, which isn't good for anybody. You know, I always say if the house isn't on fire and no one's bleeding, there's no reason to be screaming. And so we got to find a way to communicate what the expectations are. And, you know, like Sherry said, we can get on each other's last nerve when we're trying to control someone or we feel controlled. But my suggestion would be to get with a third party. It could be a counselor. It could be with somebody that she chooses, so that you can map out, okay, how long are you going to be here? And what can you expect from her? And what do you expect from me? And what are some boundaries where we're just not going to yell like this? I mean, it's just, she's to a breaking point of frustration. Your concern is that she may take this to the workplace, but I think that that would have probably showed up in her training if that was a concern. But I think there needs to be a little neutrality occurring. And, you know, who knows? You guys might work this out and it works out well for everybody, you know, so that you're reunited as a family and you do cohabitate together. But I don't know. I just think it's going to take some outside help.
And, you know, yeah. Becky, here at New Life, we have a recovery group that's actually works with issues of control and codependency. So if you stay on the line, Cindy, we can help hook you into one of our recovery groups that can help you get the support right now.
We do have quite a few life recovery groups around, and also we've got emotional freedom coming up. And, you know, it'd be great if both of you guys, that's on April the 30th, if both of you somehow could attend that together, that would be so huge that you're mm-hmm. both there, you're talking about the things that have troubled both of you. In fact, if you can get her there, I'll scholarship both of you in. That's April the 30th, coming right up, Emotional Freedom. We've also got another really great, great new workshop. That's on May the 7th, and that's Transforming Grief. And I think grieving is something that we often don't do a very good job of in the Christian world. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and if you want to join us on this program, it's 1-800-229-3000. And how about we go to Jim from South Bend, Indiana? Hey, Jim, how are you today, and how can we help you?
Yeah, I got diagnosed with ADHD when I was young in school.
Okay.
And the reason... Then they started sending me to a psychiatrist, and the reason was because they give me an IQ test because I kept getting straight D's and F mm-hmm. in school, and they found out my IQ was 120 to 130, which is above genius level, and they couldn't figure out why I was getting straight F's and D's, and they figured out it was because of the ADHD, and that I couldn't stick on the same subject for very
yeah.
long.
Okay.
Is there anything they can do besides drugs to help that?
Well, you can try supplements. You can try changing your diet. And everybody with ADHD needs to be sure they're regularly, probably every day, exercising. But tell me why you wouldn't want to use medication that could absolutely change your life for the good. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Oh, I tried the medication before when I was younger, and for the last 30 years, I've retired now, but I was a professional boxer. I had 130 pro fights.
In the past 30 years,
I don't want to do drugs.
In the past 30 years, they've developed some new medication, many new medications, and what works for somebody doesn't work for somebody else. But when we come back, I'm going to ask Becky and Sherry to give you their best shot at what a person can do who was a successful fighter. I'm happy that you had that kind of success before. We'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking to Jim, and it's a dilemma because, well, of course, we never want anybody on medication that doesn't need to be on medication, but sometimes it is the answer. Becky, Sherry, any thoughts you have on alternatives or medication to help ADHD?
I was thinking, I know, Sherry, you're going to talk about the brain, and I think that's a really important thing, especially after Jim said that he's been a fighter for 30 years. That gives us a big picture. But you know what's interesting to me, Jim? You began your question 30 years ago. Your resistance to treatment, but your request for help. And so I'm curious as how is the ADHD affecting you today? And, you know,
I cannot stay concentrating on the same subject for very long. I switch from subject to subject in my brain thinking.
Okay, and so it's distressing you because you can't stay on that same thought process. And with that, I really think Sherry's going to give you some insight onto what's happened to your brain over these 30 years. Maybe Sherry, right?
Exactly. You know, I love your question, Jim. When you were a little kid, and it sounds like they tried some medication, right? They tried something. What happened to you?
Yeah.
What didn't you like about it?
Well, the I'm not sure. I don't remember that much, except they kept switching me from medication to medication. Some of it would make me just sleep too much.
Totally. So there was over medication. You know, that's one thing that I do love about Dr. Daniel Amen, and you know we have him on the show here. He's been a regular with us. I had the chance to work with him for 5 years, and I was there in the time, Jim, when he was doing the NFL football study, where he was looking at football players. And you know, you probably know this, is a lot of the football players actually were boxers as well. And so I had a chance to look at their brains before and after he put them through a treatment. But what was interesting, even on the break, Jim, when I was going in and kind of getting some resources for you, you know what I had to do? I had to reach down in my purse and I had to get my glasses. I had to put them on. You know why?
No.
Because I'm old and I can't see. I can't see. But, you know, I want to tell you this. As a kid, you went through your classes and it was no different than it feels for me when I don't have my glasses on and I'm trying to read my phone to get you some information. I actually couldn't have done it. I would have got a D or an F in my ability to find a resource for you. No kidding. And so I think a lot of kids, because they have ADD, their brain doesn't have enough blood flow in that prefrontal cortex area. And when they try harder to work on their classes, I've seen spec scans where actually what happens is the brain drops down. There's less blood flow than there was before you started working. It's a real thing. But then once I put my glasses on, I was like, wow, the world is my oyster. I can see, I can scroll, I can find out the names of supplements for Jim. That's what your brain's been missing. It's been missing its glasses. It's been missing the intervention for all this time. So
you think glasses would?
No. It's a play on words. Thinking, I'm relating my glasses to either supplements or psychotropic medications for you. You've been living all this time like me, blind as a bat. If I cannot read and your brain cannot function without supplements or supports. So Dr. Amen, yeah, it's a big deal, like Steve was talking about. There's supplements, there's food, there's exercise. He's got a couple of supplements that I think you might investigate. And let me just say this, 50% of the people that try his focus and energy, it's for ADD, right? 50% of the people that try it, it works. The other half, they need something like a stimulant, like Adderall. And they now, like Steve is right, they have medications that aren't addictive now that can be used to help your brain. But not giving your brain what it needs is keeping you struggling when you don't have to. You will feel...
But also, I'm real hyperactive.
Okay, that's all right, because this focus and energy isn't going to make you more hyperactive. It's actually going to help you focus better, and you will calm down. Yeah.
What's it called again?
It's focus and energy. And the other one I want you to look at is called the Brain and Memory Power Boost, because when I looked at the NFL football players that were boxing, you know, or that were just, you know, because of all the head traumas, guess what part of the brain was impacted? The same part of the brain that hosts ADD. And so you may need to go into, not even may, if Dr. Amen was here, he'd
be... Is that the frontal lobes?
Yes, yes. Dr. Amen would say, hey, Jim, I have a lot of hope for you, but you need to start right now on my Brain and Memory Power Boost, because your brain needs to be put into repair. You can change your brain. So his medication...
How do I do that?
By starting on his Brain and Memory Power Boost and the Focus and Energy. You could look at it at brainmd.com. But just making a change, trying something. You don't have to live with the brain that you're in. Your brain can be better. Steve knows that personally, right, Steve?
I do. Of course, it doesn't repair everything, but you can function and focus in a way maybe you never have before. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And, you know, if you have attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperactive disorder, you can kind of feel like you're bipolar here on International Bipolar Day, because the moods are so varied from one minute to the next.
Well, you know what? I would love to send Jim Understanding and Loving a Person with Attention Deficit Disorder. And Jim, this book is for you to love on you.
Yeah.
Just to bring the tremendous insight that you talk about in your book. So it's part of your Arterburn Wellness Series, and I think it's a perfect gift to send him.
All right, that's coming your way. Also, we'll send you Dr. Daniel Amen's book on Conquer Worry and Anxiety, just so you get to know him a little bit. And that's our thank you gift here in March, one more day of March, for anybody giving a gift of any amount. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio with us, and Larry, you've told me you've got a special story today, and I love this story.
Yeah, it's a little different. I got a communication this morning from a gentleman who's been to Every Man's Battle a few months ago. I don't remember the exact month. And the unique thing is he came all the way from Germany, because he found it online. And I remember while he was there, I sat right behind him. And at one point, he turned around and he was almost in tears. because he said, I just remembered, he said, I was abused by my mother.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and it came to him during the workshop while he was sitting there. And so he had a wonderful experience of getting the help he needs and going to battle on it. And he told me then, I want to take every man's battle to Israel. He has a heart for Israel and people there. I don't know if he's a converted Jew or not, but he has a real heart and he has a lot of friends there. So he, well, let me just read you a couple things. I don't want to take too much time.
Okay.
He thanked me for being there with him, and he said, thank you for not losing sight of Jesus Christ as the center of salvation and restoration, for holding on to the cross, repentance, and forgiveness, the source of all freedom and restoration. And I love it when people echo that back to us, because that's what we want to communicate, and it's working. But let's see.
I just wanted to mention, too, Larry, you bring up such a good point. I mean, he was there at the workshop, and what came up was something deeper. Mm-hmm. A lot of the guys who struggle with sex addiction or porn addiction, they have some deep trauma underneath
it. Oh, my goodness.
And it is like a heartache and feelings that they don't want to go back to. And so part of the way they avoid that is by numbing out. By sexually acting out, don't want to feel, and so they anesthetize themselves, right, with porn or with acting out in some way. And so getting to that deeper material is how they can actually get some success and heal.
Yeah. And just to clarify, we don't discover those things to blame the problem on that. No. What we try to do is resolve that so that in the recovery, there's a greater chance for long-term, forever recovery and not getting triggered back into it because there's a wound that's not been treated.
Yep.
But I think the gift that every man leaves with is for himself accepting responsibility to do whatever it takes to make right the impact of his behavior on other people. That's what should be happening there. Larry, you have something else you want to add?
Well, he goes on to thanks for the 12 steps, thanks for me as president being there, how important it was for him to be able to give me feedback. And he says that his son, he came back a second time as an alumni, as a brother in the battle.
He flew back from Germany to here.
The second time.
Awesome.
And he's going to fly back a third time in July because he wants his son to attend Every Man's Battle. He's going to come with him for that. And he says at the end of his communication here that he's going to meet with representatives of his partners' organizations and to consult for the first time how to get the 12 steps in Every Man's Battle to Israel.
Wow, it's amazing. I mean, how far-reaching this man's story is. That it wasn't only his personal story. He's including his son, and now he wants it to go to Israel to help so many other people that struggle just like he does.
I challenged him to come in July. He may be coming in July to go to the marriage workshop also.
I hear on that is we've had so many men give us excuses about why they can't get to the workshop.
Right.
I mean, you know, what do you got after hearing this one? I don't think you got a good excuse.
That's right. Well, and the point here, too, is this is what we do. We can't do it without support. And please, if you can help us, a scholarship for somebody that can't afford this would sure go a long way to change the trajectory and the legacy of this, the person, the family, the generations to come. That's what we love. Generations to come are all impacted by one man saying, I will now live with integrity.
This is the final thought that I've got on this is that it points to the problem of porn. It's not an American problem. It's worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a bigger issue in other countries than it is where we are.
It sure is.
And so,
all right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, it's also the number to call. If you know somebody that needs every man's battle, it can change everything. All right, let's go to Israel. not the country, but the man. KKLA is the station there in California. Israel, how are you today?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me. I went through a divorce about 4 years ago. In the 4 years, I know we've been in a pandemic the last 2 years. But in that period of time, I have picked up some patterns along the way just to feed my emotional need.
What are those patterns
that you recommend? So, been to strip clubs, to clubs, meet different women, just to fill that void, that emotional void.
Right. So you just heard the story of a man who came from Germany to go to Every Man's Battle. What do you think about you going there? Because that's where we help you with those things and so much more. Have you thought about going to Every Man's Battle?
Yes, I did. I have.
You went there or you thought about going?
No, I thought of attending.
Okay. Well, let's get you there. Sherry, anything you want to say? Because really, that if you've got those problems, like if you had said, I start drinking a fifth of whiskey every day to just deal with this, then that'd be a different answer. But for these problems, Every Man's Battle Workshop is the answer. Sherry?
Hey, Israel. First off, I am so proud of you for being so honest and brave with us. So thank you for leading with your heart and your vulnerability. Can you tell me a little bit about the emotional void you felt when you were a little guy growing up in your home?
Yeah, there was a... I didn't have a male figure in my household, so there was always an emptiness.
Yeah.
So I didn't have no guidance or direction.
So get it. You know, we just had heard about this other gentleman who his mom abused him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you were listening when I said, but this gentleman, it came up at the workshop, that wound was driving his acting out. You talked about your loss, right? The divorce. I knew it went back to your family of origin. You know why?
No.
Because,
I don't know.
Yeah, that emotional drive that you felt, that emotional void, I mean, that you felt with not having a dad, have you ever thought that emotional void and filling it with pornography when you were younger was a way that you were trying to numb out the hurt and pain that you were feeling in the abandonment? And now that you've gone through a divorce, that hurting little guy inside that felt so unseen, unloved, unknown, you try to get that in the strippers. You try to get that
right
by pursuing women. You're trying to fill a void that started a long time ago, my friend.
Yes.
And the thing is, I bet part of why Every Man's Battle seemed kind of scary to think about going is because, you know what? You'd be in a room with other men. And that's not something that's comfortable to you. But I guarantee you, if you go, you're going to start filling up that void with other men that are going to love you like your daddy didn't.
Mm.
And it's going to help you heal.
Yeah. It's a big problem for a lot of men, but once they get there, we make it easy.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. And Sherry, thanks for helping him.
I was just saying, you know, Israel, you're a precious man. You really are. And I know that's not how you felt growing up. And you probably even heard me say that. And you were like, okay, that's weird. No one's called me that. But you know, as I hear you say, I'm trying to fill that emotional void. You know, that's the self-deception. That's what we tell ourselves, because the women there, it's a false intimacy. And you know that. That's why you called. It's not working.
Yeah.
Yet real intimacy, real connection with men is going to help fill that void like you've never had it filled before.
It will happen. Mm-hmm. Now, every man's battle is going to be in Columbus, Ohio, and that's April 8th, 9th, and 10th, coming right up. And I don't know, if you're in the Columbus, Ohio area, this would be so great for anybody attending, because, you know, it's right here in your backyard, and so many people can drive to Columbus, Ohio. You live in a drivable area, no airfare. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let us see if we can get you to the Columbus Every Man's Battle. And, Israel, I'm going to send you a copy of Every Man's Battle, the new version, updated, and I'll send you Every Man's Bible, number one best-selling study Bible, adult study Bible, in March and also in all of 2021. All right, let's go to Beaver, Jacksonville, Florida, WTRJ. Hi there, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great, but sometimes I think my brain is scrambled eggs because I got three people in my life, but the one I called on was... I'm not going to name names, but my sister, she's 74 years old, and all my life she has appeared to have narcissistic symptoms. I read a lot of books, and mm-hmm. as a retired special ed teacher, I was blessed with learning a lot about ADHD, ADD, but as far as how the response of the recipient of those behaviors from others at the university, they did not really address that. So my question is, in regard to ADHD, special ed, ADD, is narcissism something that just happens, or is it a separate program of thought? My husband's 74. He's never been to the doctor to be checked, but yeah. He sure does have the symptoms of ADHD. And now, my little niece, she was sexually molested, and she's only 16. And so her brain's been scrambled. So how do I respond to life?
Well, I feel for you. I want Becky to help us understand, you know, the whole thing with narcissism, and people with narcissism can have ADHD, and then we want to talk about your 15-year-old. Becky, get us started here.
Well, you know, Beaver, it sounds like you have a lot of family complexities, but narcissism, what we know about folks that have those traits is that it starts actually as a wound somewhere early on in life, and then it's kind of like the bottomless pit. And so they draw from others' praise and attention to fill that, really, the bottomless pit. It never gets filled, and so then there's frustration because of that. What's interesting to me, though, is that sometimes what we can do is we can learn about these traits, and then we apply them. It's kind of like if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything's a nail, right? So you know, your sister's got it, your husband's got it, and all of these kind of things, and you're feeling
this. No, actually, my husband doesn't have narcissism. My sister does, but my husband, he presents a lot of ADHD characteristics.
Okay, so there's all kinds of stuff going on. So I guess the question would be, where is the biggest problem for you, Beaver? Who's the person that you are having to interact with the most that you need the most help with?
It would be my husband. He's 74 years old. I mean, as a believer, I have had extreme patience, and because of the university's classes that I was required to take in order to get my bachelor degree, I understand it somewhat, but now they never did inform us how to respond as recipients of other people's behaviors.
Well, the great thing is we have a whole series of books, right? You know, we have, I think we do have one that fits that bill, and we can send that along. But
we
think that would be just a good place to start. And I think having a connection with him, not just on the basis of the ADHD, but really how do you guys connect? And I wonder if he even knows that he has it, but I'd be interested to hear what Sherry's take on that is.
No, he doesn't.
What do you think, Sherry?
I've shared some of the things.
Well, I had one, I know we're almost finished here for the day, but I had one quick question. You had mentioned in the call screen, you're wondering if your sister has bipolar or narcissism. And I just want to make a quick statement. Yeah, because it's National Bipolar Day, right? If somebody has bipolar disorder, if somebody has OCD, if somebody has ADD, they can appear narcissistic because their brain isn't working well. So sometimes what is a brain issue, we make into some kind of a personality disorder because of their behavior. But it may be a brain that's just not been treated like it needs to be. It's not getting the right things.
Well, she did go to a psychologist, but she refused to accept the fact that of his diagnosis.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the big thing. In all these problems, it requires the surrender program called compliance. If you're not going to accept the diagnosis and then comply with the recommended treatment, and then you're not going to get better. Here's the thing. If you go somewhere and they prescribe a supplement, a medication, a whatever, you don't have to do it for the rest of your life. You try it. You see the results or not. You can stop it. You're not going to be dependent on it because you tried it to see if it might work. That my encouragement of the day is if you've struggled with all your home remedies, and the other people around use home remedies and they're not working, maybe it's time to let a professional truly help you. And, you know, it's a real great battle cry. No medication. I get that. We don't want you to be on medication if you don't need to. But how sad if there was a medication that could make you about twice as easy to live with. Wouldn't your family kind of want you to do that, and you would experience life in a totally different way. Well, I want to just close out World Bipolar Day by saying I've got a handout that I'd be happy to send you. There are seven different aspects of bipolar here. There's a little bit of an overview. If you want that, just go to our website, newlife.com. We'll get that to you. But here's the main thing. Just like I said, if you have it, you need to do something about it. Bipolar doesn't just go away. There's a specific treatment that changes everything if you're willing to do that one thing called comply. Now, we've got a lot of wonderful workshops coming up, and I want to be sure you know you can still get into Every Man's Battle. And then after that, we're doing Emotional Freedom April 30th, Transforming Grief May 7th, Restore July 15th, and our marriage workshop is going to be in D.C. July 22nd. If you need help, we want to help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.